All right. It's not moving, and I didn't touch it other than push the button. Sorry. Okay. Please turn to Titus chapter 1. And I want to read the first four verses. Which is Paul's first sentence. Four verses. The guy wrote some long sentences. Chock full of goodness. But long sentences. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. This is the introduction, the greeting part of Paul's letter to Titus. Now, this is not a general epistle written to the saints at Ephesus or 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, that sort of thing. This is actually a letter he wrote to Titus, a young preacher. And it is full of instructions, of warnings, and advice for preachers and for everyone else. Just because it's addressed to a preacher doesn't mean that it doesn't apply to you guys. It is in direct context to a preacher. Paul calls him mine own son after the common faith. After just having written, he is an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect. You want to know what the common faith is? It's the faith of God's elect. He's not talking about one thing in one verse and one thing in another. It's all the same. The elect of God all have a common faith. It has a single author. Jesus Christ. That's without argument. He is the author and the finisher, and it says of our faith, but that ours in italics. You can leave it out. It says of faith. The amazing thing here to some people is that Paul calls him mine own son, and this is a Greek boy, a Greek man. An uncircumcised Greek. He didn't have Titus circumcised. Timothy he did, but Timothy was half Jewish. But Titus was an uncircumcised Greek. And here Paul, a former Pharisee, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, calls him mine own son. Why? After the common faith. The common faith is that. It's not that it's common or every day. It's that we all have it in accord. It's not simple. It's the most profound thing you'll ever get from God besides life. But it is common to all of us, including the Apostle Paul. His faith was no different than your faith. His faith was no different than my faith. His faith was no different than Titus. An uncircumcised Greek. I just find that amazing and wondrous. But he starts it off, verse 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. The first statement is a servant of God. Now you can look at that if you want to. The word is slave. That's what the word is. The word is slave. Now, very closely, if I can make this clear, I don't know, but I want to try. The meaning of this word is not emphasizing slavery. The meaning of this word, because it is actually translated bondsman once, servant 120 times. The meaning of this word is implying ownership. God owns his people. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. And that price was the precious blood of God shed once, just once. You are not your own. And Paul starts it off, saying, I'm a servant, I am a slave of God. Now, it does signify ownership, but it also signifies submission. Paul, this old Pharisee, Hebrew of Hebrews, bowed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he bowed to him as Lord. Who are you, Lord? Was the question he asked. And if you truly ask that question, he'll answer you. He will answer you. Pharaoh said that. Who is the Lord that I should fear him? God didn't answer that question because it was in the wrong spirit. A humble and contrite spirit he will not despise. Why? Because he made it. But that's part of it. Ownership, submission, but also service. God didn't save us to sit on our cans. I don't know any other way to put it. To sit in a pew. We are doing something for him. We are to do something for him. We are to do something, not for him, that's a bad word, because of him. I like better. It is God that worketh in you both. Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And Paul is a servant of God. And he gives that one first. Then he says, and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Why did he put the servant first and then the apostle? That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it is. That's the way God does it. You understand? You're not going to have an office unless you're already a servant. Unless you're already serving him. The calling to service never comes before the declaration of ownership. You're going to know you're his slave before he gives you something to do. Now you may be doing all kinds of things before he declares his ownership over you and before you submit to him. But that's of no value. There are all kinds of people out there right now that have never bowed to Jesus Christ, but they're proclaiming his name, supposedly. They think they're preaching his gospel, Walter, but they're not. They're not. Why? Because they never come to be a servant first. They never come to be a bond slave first. The preacher, the bishop, the elder, the pastor, teacher, the deacon, and even the apostle is a believer first. And then a shepherd. The shepherd must never forget that he is part of the flock. It's a common faith. My own son after the common faith. And the requirements clearly state, it says not a novice. Now granted, Paul got into the ministry rather quick, but those were special circumstances. He's an apostle. We're not. But it talks about the qualifications for a bishop and all that stuff. Not a novice. That's what it says. You are to be a servant first before the office. And always remember, guess what? I'm still a servant. Not only is Paul an apostle, he's still a servant. Now the apostle is a delegate, an ambassador of Christ. Of Christ. An ambassador of the gospel, if you will. Paul was the designated apostle to the Gentiles. He was writing this letter to a Gentile. But before that, he was a servant. According, I think it's in Ephesians and 2 Corinthians, it says that Paul is an apostle by the will of God. Here it says, according to the faith of God's elect. God not only in election chooses his people, but he chose Paul before he was in his mother's womb to be an apostle. He chose you to be here today. And me. And Walter. All of us. This is the place we are to gather together. What? According to the faith of God's elect. And the acknowledging of the truth. You can't leave that out. You can't leave that out. No servant of God will ever not acknowledge the truth. It comes with the territory. Paul asked, "Who are you, Lord?" Guess what? Christ said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." He didn't leave Paul in his ignorance, blinded on the road to Damascus. He revealed himself to him. And Paul acknowledged that truth, that Jesus, that he had been persecuting, is Lord. Is Lord. This word acknowledging means recognition and discernment of the truth. Recognition and discernment of Christ Jesus and his gospel. His gospel. We're going to get to that in a minute. But the truth is a requirement for service. Now, let me be clear. The truth is not a requirement for ownership or purchase. God purchased you 2,000 years ago with his own blood. You understand? He owns you. He chose you before the foundation of the world in his Son. The Father did. Ownership's already there before you will ever know the truth. You were purchased on Calvary. Purpose before that, but purchased then and there, that one time his blood was shed, you are bought with a price. But now service, being a servant, demands truth be known. Demands truth be acknowledged. It has to be heard and it has to be believed. and it will be heard, and it will be believed. God, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. That truth will be delivered to His people. And in hope of eternal life, I got to say this, I wrote it down. How eternal is it if you can lose it? How eternal is it if you can lose it? One of the definitions, I looked it up just for fun, because it says everlasting, it says eternal. But one of the words it actually says as a definition, the Greek word for eternal is, remember right, perpetual. Perpetual. I like that. Because perpetual means it keeps going. And it keeps going. And it keeps going. And you don't keep it running. God promised it. God that cannot lie promised it. God asserted. God announced eternal life for His children. And He announced through the gospel that that life is in His Son, Jesus Christ. But hath in due times manifested His word through preaching. That's actually the title of this, Paul. Manifested through preaching. He has manifested His word through preaching. Now, before I do that, hath in due times, I want to make this very clear. He is God. Has manifested His word in due times. Now, in this era, in this time, since Christ forward, it is through preaching. But through the Old Testament, God always manifested His word. He has always manifested His word. He did it in person. Christ did it in person, I believe, to Adam and Eve. The seed of the woman's going to bruise the head of the seed of the serpent. You understand? He took clothes of skin and clothed them. He spoke to the Old Testament saints through Moses, through Noah building that ark, Walter, through Moses' words, Aaron's words, the tabernacle in the Old Testament, all those sacrifices in the Old Testament were manifesting His word. The prophets spoke the word of God to the people. He has always manifested His word. But now, in due time, it says He has manifested His word, doing it now, and it says it plainly, through preaching. That's what it says. I didn't put it in there. That's what it is. In due times, in this time, in this era, this is the way God has chosen to do it. I said it before. I said He could have chosen to do it anyway. Any way He wanted to. He could have made it so that the rocks cried out. If the people hadn't cried out, the rocks were going to cry out. What? To the glory of God the Father, that this man, this Jesus, is the Christ. He's the one. He's the message. He's been the message in the Old Testament. He's the message in the New Testament. He's the message eternally. No beginning and no end to this message. First of all, who has manifested His word through preaching? It's not Paul. That's not what Paul's talking about. Paul did the preaching. But he's not the one that manifested His word. That actually refers back to verse 2 where he says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world again, but hath. Who hath? God hath in due times manifested his word. What? Through preaching. It's God that actually manifests his word, or it's not manifested at all. The reason I got into this was the next verse of John chapter 17 that I didn't preach about. John chapter 17 and verse 6. This is the exact word used here in Titus. This is Christ speaking. He says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Why did they keep thy word, his word, God's word? Because Christ manifested God's name to these men. And I'm not even going to go into it, but that thou gavest me out of the world. The whole world to choose from. And it wasn't a great coincidence that Christ showed just right there where the men were that God gave to him. This is all part of the purpose and plan of God. But this is the word, I have manifested thy name. And that, I believe, is what Paul is referring to here. God has manifested his word through preaching. Secondly, the word manifested means to make visible that which has been unknown. Or literally, I like this, to render apparent. This manifested is a making known of what is already there. The Word of God is all around us. The Word of God is in this book. The Word of God is this book. It's here. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them which are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of. He, God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, has to render apparent his word. It's not the preacher's job. The preacher's job is to preach, and to preach the truth, and to sow only good seed. But to sow seed, and that's it. That's the third point. The Word of God through preaching has to be manifested by the Spirit of God. The natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. Now, you can shake that any way you want to. Well, he will. Well, he won't. He can't. This is talking about he can't. The natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. It's in 1 Corinthians 2. You can read it and weep if you want, but it's the truth of God. And if you're one of his, you're going to read it and rejoice, because you used to be there. You used to be there. I used to be there. But by his grace, by his mercy, by his power, I am no longer there. And I do not want to go back to that. There's a lot of people that act like they want to go back, but that is one. I don't want to go back to that. I do not want to go back to being ignorant of the things of the Spirit of God, to be ignorant of Christ. I want to bow to him. I want to be his bond slave. I want to know him. I want to acknowledge his truth. The word of God through preaching has to be manifested, and it has to be manifested by God. The preaching is public. That's what we're doing here. The preaching is public. It's a proclamation. It can go, you can preach anywhere. But unless God manifests that word unto that person, it's of no value. It'd been just like preaching to me when I was 17. You could have done it all day long. It wouldn't have done you any good. It didn't do me any good. Of course, Catholic service ain't exactly... Never mind, we ain't going into that. But it's preached publicly, but it isn't received until God, our Savior, renders it apparent to those He has given life. But, and we are to preach. This is the way He's chosen to do it. I didn't know Don was going to preach on this yesterday, or whoever it was. This is the way it's done. This is the way God says to do it. It's proclaimed openly, and it's hid to the lost. Now, that's not a paradox. That's just a fact. That's a fact. That's the way the preaching of the gospel is. It is rendered apparent. It is made known to those He has given life. And it is hid to those whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of. That's the facts. Paul said, which is committed unto me. Not the manifestation, but the preaching. The preaching is committed. And I looked this word up. Walter, the base word of this word commitment or committed is faith. It's based on the word faith. There's, you know, more extra Greek letters in there for the prefix and the suffix or whatever. What it means is entrusted. The preaching of the gospel had been entrusted to Paul the Apostle and to Titus. And I'll go a little further. It's been entrusted to me. And that's a scary thing. It is. I get nervous thinking about coming up here. Now, usually once I get here, I'm nervous about other things. But I get nervous about coming up here and preaching this gospel. A, I want to have a message. Because here's the thing about a preacher. If you ain't got a message, you ain't got a message. Now, another nice thing about a preacher, if you have a message, you have a message. And here is our message. According to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, there is eternal life in the Son of God. And we are His servants. His slaves, His brethren, even. He is our elder brother. We submit to Him. We bow to Him. Willingly, lovingly, and gladly. Earl used to talk about that thing where they put the hole in the slave's ear if it came time for his freedom. And he said, no, I don't want to go. I want to stay in your house, Lord. And they put it to the post and put a hole right through his ear. And that meant he was a slave forever. He would always belong to that Lord. That's what I want of my Lord Jesus Christ. That's eternal life. You belong to Him forever. These people think that you can just take it and lose it. They don't know what it is. That's the whole... Remember, what is truth? If you ask to ask, you don't know. If you think you can lose eternal life, you ain't never had it. Because you don't know what it is. Now granted, if there was a way to mess it up, I could figure out a way to do it. I have every confidence in my ability to break things. But it ain't up to me. It's perpetual. It keeps going even if I don't, Walter. It'll keep going even when I'm not. It's perpetual. I like that word. I like that thought. Why? Because He keeps it going. It's His life that He's given us. And it's His life that we're preaching. and it's his word that ye have received, if it's been manifested unto you. According to the commandment of God our Savior, this gospel's been entrusted to me. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Why? For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is me, if I preach not the gospel. A preacher is to preach. God gave this command to the apostle of the Gentiles. And I'm telling you, in these words, he's passing this on to Titus, and he's passing it on to all of us. Now, I said the direct context here is preaching, and it is. But, and, I'm going to throw this out to everyone. Because a preacher is to preach. A teacher is to teach. A pastor is to pastor. An evangelist is to evangelize. Now, I know that really sounds incredibly simple, but some people don't get it. Okay? Not you guys, but I mean, there are people out there, and hopefully somebody will hear this. I don't know. And hopefully we'll have sound, Paul. But here's the last one. A witness is to witness. And that includes all of us. That includes all of us. If you're a witness of Christ's glory, which you are, if he has manifested his word unto you, you are to witness. I'm going to give one example. Acts chapter 18, verse 24. Actually 26, but I'm going to read 24. Excuse me. Because I know Paul was well aware of this fellow. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Isn't that amazing? You know, that billboard's still up there about how have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? This is another case here. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they said, isn't that nice? And went home. No. They took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. What does that mean? They preached Christ to him. They witness Christ in him. Now, I don't have anything in here about Aquila being a preacher. Now, Paul knew them both. And Priscilla was a woman.
That's right.
You guys. I fully agree with the scriptures that I'm, you know, and I'm not going to be apologetic about it, but I'll try to be nice about it. This is a job given to men, not to women. Some days I'd about give it to anybody, but it ain't up to me. That's just what it says. But that doesn't leave you women off the hook. The first woman, the first person who told me the gospel was a woman. And we were just talking. And she mentioned something, and I had a question, and she answered the question out of the scriptures. So I'm not going to denigrate a woman's work at all, or a man's, who's not a preacher. If you know the Word of God, you're to be his witness. What Paul read this morning, be ready to give an answer to every man. Now, I will tell you, that answer means that there was a question. Because I had people throwing answers at me when I wasn't asking no question, Mason. I didn't care. That's what happened when I was 17, 18, 19. But when I hit 22, 23, whatever it was, I have to figure it up. I think it's 23. God manifested His word to me, and I wanted to hear it. And I had questions. And this woman gave me some answers and told me where to look for some other ones. Right in this book. What happened after that? It says, and when he was disposed to pass through Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. A servant is a servant before everything else. A servant is owned and submitted, in this context, to Christ. And it is a servant of God that is the apostle to the Gentiles. It is a servant who is a preacher. It is a servant who is a witness. But it is Christ and Christ alone that manifests His word through the preaching of the gospel. And nevertheless, the gospel is preached, and therein I rejoice. The preacher preaches, I said it, the witness gives his or her testimony, but only Christ manifests, renders apparent His word in His servants. Because all believers are sowers. All believers are sowers. Therefore, they are to sow seed in the field where the Lord has put you. You don't own the field. I don't own the field. It's His field. And He'll put you where He wants you to do what He wants you to do. This is the command. This is our duty. And some days this is our joy. Every day it's our joy. Some days I'm just not very happy. But I'm always happy in Him. Our joy is to speak of our Lord and of God, our Savior, who gave us this commandment. And we are to grow thereby. You don't outgrow preaching. You don't outgrow hearing preaching. I might stop someday. It might be taken from me. I might get old. I'm going to die. I remember Earl stand up here saying that, and I always say, please, not now. I'm going to die one day. But it was good to go drive those 2-3 hours down to Dingus to hear that message preached. He's a preacher. I went last year. It was good when I went, Mason. Others went. You drive here, I don't know how many miles, most of you I know. Why? To hear the preaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to fellowship with people who love the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll quit with this. I saw a sign yesterday. And then on the way back, I saw the other side of the sign. That made it even worse. One side says, keep the Bible in your heart and not on yourself. Ain't that cute? Well, you hear the other side. You may be the only Bible that some people ever read. That's exactly it. God help them. If I'm the only Bible anybody's ever read, somebody's in big trouble. It takes God to manifest His word. These people think they can manifest His word. They preach like they can manifest His word. They want to lay hands, some of them, on people because they think they have a power given by God, and they don't. God is manifesting His word right now through the preaching of His gospel to His people.
Right.
And that's the way it's done.
That's right.
And that's his choice, not mine. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time and this place. But most of all, for your word, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your word preached to us, your word given to us, and being rendered apparent unto us, that we might believe thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the life you've given, the faith you've given, and the message you've given. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.